You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Wake Up, the Day is at Hand. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
On a recent front page, the New York Times states that several months ago, there occurred in the book publishing industry a most unusual phenomenon. This phenomenon, according to the journalists, involves a series of four books known as apocalyptic fiction. These recently published books unexpectedly sold nearly 3 million copies. This phenomenon, according to the Times, and this great desire by the general public to read this type of apocalyptic and end times literature is one indication of the public's fixation on the approaching millennium. This interest in apocalyptic literature also reveals a widespread anticipation and even fear that the year 2000 portends some earth-shattering event. Further, the Times states, these recently rapidly selling books written by two leading evangelicals are based on a controversial interpretation of the Bible. The New York Times states that their message is this: you cannot do anything about what's happening in the world, but you can save yourself. Therefore, accept Jesus Christ today, and you will be among those who are raptured. But not everyone agrees. Oh no, not everyone agrees that these fast-selling books present the real message of the Bible. The New York Times finally states, the plot's suspense relies on the assumption that the people left behind after the rapture have a second chance to declare for Christ and to save their souls. Now indeed, this storyline may be intriguing, but this is an interpretation that most Christians and scholars of the New Testament for centuries have found highly unorthodox and totally unacceptable. Now let's ask the question directly. Are these recent bestsellers correct when they claim that at the return of Jesus Christ and at the Day of Judgment, there is going to be a second chance? No, the Bible says. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 we read, it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. The Bible speaks of no second chance. The Bible speaks of no delay of the judgment after Jesus returns. And the Bible speaks of no period when those left behind will have a second chance to rethink things and make a decision for Christ and save their soul. Any such teaching is outright heresy. The Bible, you see, states it simply. Once Jesus reappears and presides in the great final judgment, there will be no second chance. In Matthew chapter 25 we read, and all the nations will be gathered before Jesus, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then the king, the Bible says, will say to those on his right, come, come, you are the blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And so then, even though there are best-selling books on the market these days that are wrong on what they teach, this does not diminish the wake-up call for the reappearing of Jesus recorded in the Bible. The return of Christ is something all of us need to prepare for. These warnings are something for which all of us need to be heads up. The reappearing of Jesus and the Day of Judgment are events that all who love the world instead of God ought to fear. In the Bible, you see, in Zephaniah chapter 1, we read that near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. A day of wrath is that day, the Bible says, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and darkness. And the Lord says, I will bring distress on men, so that they will walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood will be poured out like dust, and their flesh is like dung. I think all of us would agree that this is a very sobering picture that the Bible paints regarding God's judgment. And now, listen also to this. Nobody will be able to avoid or excuse themselves or buy themselves out of this final judgment. The Bible states, neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them on the day of the Lord's wrath, and all the earth will be devoured in the fire of His jealousy, for God will make a complete end, indeed a terrifying one, for all the inhabitants of the earth. And so then, my friend today, if you are one of those who has openly and defiantly thumbed your nose at God, or simply remained indifferent to His word, then I would suggest that you take these frightening warnings recorded clearly in the Bible seriously. Or if you are one of those who feels you have led a pretty decent life and that you are going to save yourself by your own acts of self-righteousness, then you also need to wake up. Because you see, the only shield and the only covering that the Bible talks about as having the ability to shield you from the terrible judgment of God that you deserve as a result of your sins, this is the covering or the cloak or the mantle of the perfect righteousness of Jesus. This righteousness that God graciously gives you as a gift in Jesus Christ is the only protection that can save you from the terrible curse of your sin and from spending eternity in the fires of hell. And the good news is that God has made it possible for you, in spite of your many sins and failures, to look forward. That's correct. To actually look forward to the reappearing of Jesus. Oh yes, believe it or not, the Bible says you can look forward with great joy to that day when Jesus will appear. The Apostle Paul speaks about this at the end of his life when he says, "Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Did you hear that? To all who have loved His appearing. Oh, indeed, you and I, as St. Paul says, can love. Yes, we can eagerly look forward to the reappearance of the crucified and resurrected Jesus. In every decade, of course, and in every generation, in every era, and in every century, all those washed clean by the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus have never feared. No, they have never feared the reappearing of Jesus in the final day of judgment. Instead, these sinners, justified by God's grace and saved from hell by His gift of faith, these followers of our Lord have always, as did St. Paul, longed for. Yes, they have longed for, and with great joy they have yearned for, the glorious return of Jesus Christ. And this is also why Christians for nearly 2,000 years have confessed publicly, openly, and joyfully in the Nicene Creed, "I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." Oh, my friend, let this be the day that God will turn your heart away from uncertainty and fear about Judgment Day. Yes, let this be the day when the Spirit of God enables you to say no to all temptation, to find eternal security by following religious laws. Listen as St. Paul explains this good news when he writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that all the world may become accountable to God. Because," St. Paul writes, "by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight." You see, what St. Paul was saying here was simply that no matter how religious or even righteous you feel that you are, this self-righteousness of yours will never save you. But then St. Paul explains the good news that apart from the law and apart from all the rigid rules of religion, the righteousness of God has been manifested. And this was spoken millenniums ago by the prophets in the Old Testament. They spoke about a righteousness of God, a righteousness that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ. This righteousness is for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, St. Paul writes, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, God justifies them as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now remember how we talked about only a few moments ago about these current best-selling books that falsely teach that when Jesus returns, everybody will have a second chance? Well, it's easy to understand, at least in our culture, why some people might believe this. You see, nowadays we frequently associate Judgment Day with a type of secular court of law situation. And one of the procedures involved in Western law courts is the opportunity to keep appealing and appealing to a higher court and to another decision and a second chance. Now, of course, in some ways there are similarities between our current court of law, including judges, and the Judgment Day of Jesus. But the point of this Bible-based message today is this. The Bible neither knows, nor reports, nor speaks of a second chance. And therefore, precisely because there are so many conflicting voices, and because there is such a confusion about Jesus' return and what God wants us to do, that we are reminded that God has spoken on the subject. For example, in Matthew, Jesus says, "Keep watch, because you do not know the day that the Lord will come." In Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, "Be on guard, be on the alert." Again, Jesus says, "Keep watch. I say to everyone, watch." In Luke chapter 12, we read the words of Jesus, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return." Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, "You must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, St. Paul writes these words, "Let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter, "Prepare your minds for action, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Again in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read, "Since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with the Lord." In Romans chapter 13, we read, "The hour has come for you to wake up. The night is nearly over, and the day is here." In James chapter 5, we read, "The Lord's coming is near, and the judge is standing at the door." Of course, in all of this, as I've already said, God wants us not to fear, but to look forward to, yes, even to yearn for, the return of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle speaks of awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, he writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Titus chapter 2, we read that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for, yes, even yearning for, the blessed hope and the reappearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then today, the bottom line is this. In the coming months, you can expect television talk shows, authors, journalists, and book publishers, and even politicians to focus upon the year 2000. Some will focus on fear to get a following, and others will focus on fear to extract money from the unwary population. But in all of this, God's gracious message is loud and clear. Repent of your sins, my friend, and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to your Savior from sin. It is the blood of Jesus that has the power to wash you clean from all of your sin, every sin that you've ever committed. And then with faith in Jesus, there is no need for you to fear the year 2000 or the reappearance of Jesus on the day of judgment. And so then, all those, and I pray here, my friend, that you will be one of those who abandon all hope of saving themselves and instead trust in the sin-cleansing blood and the soul-saving perfect righteousness of Jesus, they will be saved. O Lord, we pray today, drive away all fear of the year 2000 and the reappearance of Jesus, and instead enable us with your forgiveness to look forward to, yes, to yearn with great joy for his reappearance. We pray, O Lord, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.